I think it's about time to get our service started, so looks like a real nice crowd this morning. Thank God for each and every one of you who's come out this morning. We're truly blessed here. And just want you to know we can have a wonderful time here this morning if you mind the Lord. If you don't, well, you'll go home miserably. Somebody else will get the blessing. That's what he says. So, with that, testimonies are always in order. If you got a testimony, you need to give it. So, we don't have any announcements that I know of this morning. So, first thing we'll do, we'll take up offering. Bobby, ask the prayer, please. Bless us, hasn't he? Listen to that piano, listen to the organ. Yeah. Well, Stevie, you too. We're glad you're playing drums. But you know, listen to that. It's wonderful. Amen. Anybody got a testimony before we turn this choir loose?
I just want to say there's a reason why I love that song.
Bless you, Pam.
Nowadays, if you don't have health issues, be thankful.
Amen.
One day you will.
Amen. Amen. Yes. Amen. Yes.
There is a phrase in that song about the bars of bone and things of that nature. And I am so thankful that one day none of that will get to me.
Right.
Amen.
None of that will matter. All I've got to do is be faithful.
Amen. Amen.
And so some folks may hear that song and they may think it's about dying. That to me it's about being set free.
Amen.
Being free from pain and the things that change your life and don't allow you to be the person that you once were.
Amen.
And I'm
Amen.
Thankful that I have that husband.
Amen. Amen.
Amen.
How true. Amen. All right, Pam.
Thank you, Father. Amen.
Oh, the tears from falling from my eyes when to a loved one I have to say goodbye. Though my heart is breaking with joy, I too can say that I have this promise, we'll meet again someday. So great was your victory, and death, where is your sting? Through the blood of Jesus, all my sins are washed away, and I have this promise, we'll meet again someday.
Hoping to see all my family there with me.
Amen.
That's the hope I have.
Amen.
That's all that keeps me going.
The child of God.
Yeah. Someday we're going to be with Jesus.
Amen.
Amen. Everything will be all right. Amen.
Let's do it.
Hallelujah. Pray for me.
He brought my memory. When he talked about his daddy, I can remember when my mother passed away. I'm telling you, it was one of the hardest things I've ever done in my life. That I had the testimony of her at 4:30 and 5 o'clock in the morning, having the King James Version of the Bible, talking to my older brother about Christ. Now, what better testimony to know where your mom is going?
Amen.
Yeah. They called me. He got on a plane, went home, and they called me later on that evening. My sister and said, "Mom's gone." I said, "Where'd she go?"
Yeah.
He said, "You don't understand. She's gone. She's dead." About my world shattered. But you know what? I love that song. Because I've got that promise.
Amen.
One day, Brother Steve, one day I'll get to see my mommy again.
Amen.
I get to see my mama again. But you know what? Above all other things, over Moses, Elijah, all of them, I'll get to meet the one who hung on a cross.
Amen.
And I have the right to say that I am a child of the living King.
Amen.
Me. I'm an old scoundrel. We say we're the apple of God's eye, and I believe that, but I feel as if I'm a speck of dust in his eye. But he loved me so much. He loved me so much.
Right.
Seeing the ignorant, stupid man that I am, and sent his son anyway to say, if you just believe in my son, you can come home.
Amen.
And I've got that promise.
Yeah.
Amen.
Glad reunion day. We're going to do a supper one day that even it'll be cornbread and beans. I'm telling you, I can't wait to get over there. And like he said, we'll know each other. We'll know each other as we've known him down here.
Yeah.
Because of Christ, our Savior. Amen. God's Son, our Savior. And I just thank him. I just thank him for that promise.
Amen.
That one day, all walking on the clouds of glory. I get to drive up and down the river a lot. And here lately, there's been a fog over the river. You can't see the river. But you see that fog, and I'm thinking, man, can you imagine just going down there, just walking across that? One day, Brother Eddie, we're going to.
Amen.
Everybody says, I'm going to take an airplane ride. I'm going to take a plane air ride. Pray for us.
You know, January is a pretty rough month for me sometimes.
Bless you, Steve.
I had two friends that were murdered in January 12th. My dad died January 31st. My mother died on January 24th. My stepmother died in January. And my mother told me where she was going to be. My stepmother knew where she was going to be. And on the second bypass surgery, Al was in the hospital with my dad. And you know, it's hard to talk to your dad or brother or somebody about salvation, but I went and asked my daddy, if you don't make it through this surgery, am I going to see you again? I want to know where your soul's going to be.
Amen.
And he smiled and gripped my hand and he assured me that he was going to be in heaven waiting on me.
Amen.
But those two friends were good men. They were both troopers. They were killed in the line of duty. At that time, I never had a thought of asking anybody if I was ever going to see them again. And that, every January, that bothers me. But if you got somebody that you feel close to, find out. Just ask them in love. Don't point your finger at them and judge them. Just ask them.
Amen.
I love you.
Amen.
And I want to know if I get to spend eternity with you.
Amen.
Amen. Y'all pray for me.
Hey, Al, what you call his family? He's with you. Even if you arise, he's with you. I want to thank him for always being with us.
Amen.
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 Everyone stand, give a hymnal, turn to page 137. 137.
Anything else? All right. Be much in prayer for Rob come.
All right. If you've got your Bibles, turn to Luke chapter 2. And we'll just shut this down. I'm going to figure out how to work electronics. Luke chapter 2 and verse 12. Now, when I was praying about this sermon, I was praying and I got what I know God wants me to preach about. But this might be too short for a sermon, but I know if I did everything that God's telling me to do, not today, but in this whole sermon, it would be too long. I'd be like, let's call pizza because we'd be here till like 4 o'clock. Hey, well, nobody gonna fall out the window, right? If you did, we'd just lay hands on you, bring you back inside. So what I'm going to talk about, I'm gonna preach about, is blessings. Blessings. And I was thinking about, and it's blessings. I testified one Wednesday night. I might have been Sunday morning at Christmas, because we do have a Christmas Day service here. At that, and God, I talked about blessings for just a brief minute, and I said, you might hear about that soon in a sermon, so I didn't go on about it. Well, God said, now's the time. So I got studying this message about blessings, and it's going to be blessings related to Luke chapter 2, verse 12. So if you would stand, if you could, as we read Luke chapter 2 and verse 12. Very familiar, very unconventional for the end of January or beginning of February. Luke chapter 2 and verse 12 says this. And this shall be a sign unto you. You shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord Jesus, God, we want to thank you for this chance you've given us to come into your house, Father. I thank you for your spirit, what we felt, especially individually. God, as we sit here and you minister to us, Father, through the music, through the wonderful choir, through the wonderful songs, Lord, I thank you for that. God, and I ask right now, as we go through the rest of this, Lord, help me to step back, Father, that you could step forward, Lord. Help me to quiet down, that you could speak up, that everything said would be by you, for you, and through you, because I want it to be what we need to hear this morning, a word from you, a message from you for our life, for my life, for our individual life, God. What we're going through right now and what you see on the horizon, Father, what you see on the horizon that's coming. God, I thank you for your love, your grace, and your mercy. Lord, if there's anyone in the church that needs you this morning, let them come. Lord, call them before I finish, Lord. Tell them it doesn't have to wait until I'm done. I'd rather pray for people than preach to people, Lord. Lead them to Christ rather than just tell them about Christ, Lord. Let them know that this morning they can get you at any time, Father. Lord, I'm glad and I'm thankful that you're willing and you're available, Father. Lord, I praise your holy name. In Jesus' name we pray and amen. You may be seated. So I was thinking about the title for this sermon. Because it's going to be about a baby and it's going to be about a manger, okay? So I thought this might be my title right here. Go ahead and put it up. Blessings from the baby. I thought, what baby? Anybody here got a baby right now? All right, it's not that baby. So what baby? Well, let's try the next one. How about... Go ahead, hit the next. Blessings from the manger. What manger? Because there's all kinds... Anybody in here got a manger? At your house, in your barn, right? So is it from that manger? I don't think so. So here is the title I come up with. All right, next one. Blessings from the baby in the manger that all are meant for all to have, even though not all will get them because some refuse to accept them, but they could have them if they would just accept the baby in the manger and what he has to offer all people everywhere, even though we are all unworthy. So if you have accepted him, these blessings are yours to have freely, so don't miss out, Jesus. So that's my title. And I thought about, you know, that's just the title. And I thought, you know, we often have short titles and short messages, so I'm not sure about this one, right? But here's what I do know. Go ahead to the next one. Blessings from Jesus, from baby Jesus. I'm going to talk to you about peace this morning. About peace. And in this sermon, we're going to talk about things, and it's from baby Jesus because he experienced them in real life as a human being, whether he was directly a part or indirectly a part of it. We're going to see that he experienced, so he does know about what we're going to talk about because he does know about what you're going through. He does know about your life and what's happening. And it's not just that, oh, I've heard about that. Someone told me about that. He says, I've experienced that. These blessings come to you through him because he was a baby one day in a manger that grew up to be a boy and a man to live on this world, on this earth. So we're going to talk about peace. Now, it's going to go one probably for the next time I preach or two or three. But today we're going to start blessings from baby Jesus and we're going to talk about peace. How many of you need peace in your life? The rest of you are really good right now. I mean, I would love to have your life because I need peace in my life. Now, like Pam said, if you're not going through something right now, you probably will soon. So if you don't really need peace right now, maybe tomorrow you will. I don't know. Someday you probably will. So as we go through this, if you can't grasp this for your life today, grasp it for your life tomorrow because we don't know what tomorrow will bring. Only God knows what tomorrow will bring. But that's a good thing. He knows what your tomorrow is going to bring. So he's ready to give you that peace tomorrow. He's ready today to give it to you tomorrow because when we get there, he's already there. The Bible says that God is the God, the Holy One that inhabits all of eternity. So there is no tomorrow to him. It's just later today to him. It's tomorrow to us. He's like, it's about time you got here. Been waiting on you. So when you get in the middle of it and you need that peace tomorrow, God's already got it waiting on his today, which is our tomorrow. So let's move on. So peace from baby Jesus. Peace. This is what he says. Let not your heart be troubled. Let not your heart be troubled. Now, that's something that you and I have a part in. If you'll notice, he tells you, let not. So you and I have the ability within us, not in us, not in us alone, but the ability within us to have that peace. God says, I give you that peace in life storms. I give you that peace when life storms get rough. I give you that peace when you're going through the storm. That peace is for you to reach out and grab and take and not let go and to live in and to act in and to walk in. That peace is yours to have. So grab a hold of my peace, he says, that I'm going to talk about in a minute, that you have a part and I have a part. We cannot ask for that peace. We cannot seek that peace, and we can walk through this life needing that peace but never get it. But he says, let not your heart be troubled. I thought, what does troubled mean? It means beset by problems or conflicts. Anybody got problems? The rest of you, you don't need peace because you got no problems. You guys are doing good. Some of your lives, man. All right, so some of us have problems. How about conflicts? Anybody got conflicts in their life around them at work? Maybe not, hopefully not. But he says, don't let your heart be beset by problems or conflicts. Don't get distressed or perplexed. Anybody ever get distressed? Oh, yeah. Nobody raised their hand, but we all grumbled. All right, all in favor, say aye. All opposed, nay. Jimmy. So he says, don't let problems and don't let conflicts steal that peace. How can we walk through this life when we're in the middle of life storms, when they're raging hard, when things are crashing down, when things are crazy and things are chaotic? How can we have that peace? It's like this. Go to the next screen. How can God give us that peace? Because Jesus says, peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you, not as the world gives, give I unto you. So Jesus says, I want you to take this peace that I have when I was walking down here and life got crazy for me, life got chaotic for me, life came crashing down for me. He said, my friends turned against me, the religious leaders turned against me, people tried to capture me, people tried to kill me, and through it all, I walked through the storms, and through it all, I walked through the fire, and through it all, I walked through the flood, but through it all, I had that peace. I offer that peace. I don't give peace to you like the world gives to you. It's like this. The world says you can have peace when you have no problems, when you have no conflicts, when you have no stress, when all the bills are paid, there's $1 million in the bank, and all is well. The world says there you can have peace. Jesus says that's not when you get peace. That's not how you get peace. You get peace because I give it to you and I leave it with you if you'll pick it up and take it. He says, what? And I thought about this. What's the one good example? What's the greatest example? What's the most outright example of the peace that Jesus had when he walked this earth? Because it's the same peace we can have while we walk this earth, because he said, I give you my peace, the peace that I had with God the Father, the peace that I had with the Holy Spirit when I was walking down here, and you can see my peace that I had through it all, through all the trials and the temptations and the heartaches, people dying, friends dying, people passing away, people getting sick, people being mean to me. And I thought, you know, one day they were crying glory, the next week they were crying crucify. Yet through it all, the Bible says he kept his calm, he kept his peace. Like a lamb to the slaughter, he didn't even open his mouth. How can we, what kind of peace is that? So what story, what real life event can show us exactly the peace of Jesus that you can have when you're going through life if you have Jesus? Now, caveat, if you don't have Jesus, this ain't for you yet. But you can have it starting today. Because Jesus says, come unto me all, come unto me everybody. Call on me, ask for me to forgive you, and I will. He doesn't say I might. He doesn't say you better hope so. Better hope you've been good enough. He says I will. So what story is Jesus to? Go to the next one. In Mark 4:37, the Bible says this. Now Jesus is with his disciples. With his disciples in a boat. Professional fishermen live their life on the water. The Bible says they, and Jesus said this to them. He said, let's go to the other side. Let's just go to the other side. Now that should tell them something. That should tell them, when we get in this boat, we're making it to the other side. Because Jesus said, we're going over there. And when Jesus says we're going over there, come hell or high water or the devil, you're going over there. You're going to make it. So they get in the water, they get in the boat, and they go. And the Bible says a great storm of wind. Now, when a fisherman says a great storm of wind, who lives on the water, it's not just a little breeze. It's a bad storm. It's a strong wind. The Bible says the waves beat the boat so bad that it was now full. Think about it. The wind was so strong that it was rocking, and they were doing this, right? And the boat was going down, and water was getting in. Think about it. They're just heaving and hoeing and rocking. And where's Jesus? He's doing this. I thought about this. This is a bad idea. This is Jesus in the middle of a storm. I don't know why I'm doing it up here, because God said do it up here. Jesus, help me. Jesus is laying there in the middle of this storm. Of course, if Jesus, you know, snorted, he'd be like, me, 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 you know, so he's just in there, right? He's just in there, and it's rocking, right? The boat's rocking, and it's rocking Jesus to sleep. It's just rocking him back and forth. And he's like, oh, that feels so good. And the angels are like, rock about Jesus in a little boat, right? In the middle of a storm, when the boat is rocking so bad that water's getting in, Jesus is like, don't bother my peace none. Because I know where I'm going, the other side of this water. So the devil can rock, and the devil can shake, and the devil can shimmer, and the devil can blow, and he can huff, and he can puff, and he can blow up against the wind, up against the boat, and he can fill it with water, but it ain't going to sink, because Jesus said it's going to the other side. So even if it was full of water, it would be the first boat full of water that stayed on top of the water and floated to the other side, because Jesus said, that's where I'm going. And he said, in the midst of this storm, I've got all this peace. Now, God says to you, when you're in the middle of a storm, I'm there with you. He said, I've seen the storm. I've been through the storm. I've lived through the storm. I've been through the fire. I've been through the flood. I've been through life. I have been there. I have done it. I have walked through it. I've kept my peace. I've got it for you. He says, do you remember Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? You remember them? He says, they were in the fire. So was I with them. Matter of fact, he said, I stayed in there so that when you get in there, I'll already be there. So we'll just walk around together. He says, I've been through the fire. He says, you remember Noah? He says, he was through the flood. I took him through the flood. I was there with him in the flood. Took him all the way to the other side, to the end of the flood. So when your life starts to flood and you can't, life brings a flood. God says, take my peace when life storms come. Remember those disciples in the boat? Jesus says, I just sleep through it. When storms come, when storms rage, he says, just turn to me, ask of me, because in those storms, in the middle of the storms of your life, and you will have them. Jesus said, in this life, you will have tribulation. You will have trials and temptations. But he said, I know what you're going through. Hebrews tells you and me that our high priest is not one that can't be touched with your infirmities, but was in all points tempted, just like you. Just like you are. Been there, he said. Walked through it. Lived through it. Kept my peace through God through it. Now, how do you do that? You go to God and say, Jesus, I need that peace again. Because you might have that peace today, and you might lose it tomorrow. We don't know what storms are coming. There may be a storm hit that will just rock your world like you've never known before. And we think we've got the peace of God through it all. But when that storm hits, suddenly the peace seems to be gone. Kind of like sometimes it seems like God's gone and he's gone silent, but he's always there. Some things rock us like other things don't. But when life storms happen, when the storms are raging, when the storms are crazy, when life is chaotic, when it's all crashing down around you and you can't do anything about it, he says, I will give you that peace if you want it. Now, what else? What other kind of peace? Go to the next one. Now, what I'm going to do in a few of these is tell you how many times Jesus said it. Now, in the other verse, Jesus said it twice, let not your heart be troubled. Because it's very important that you get that, let not your heart be troubled. You have a part in it, God has a bigger part, and he wants you to know, he wants to make sure you've got it, that he says, let not your heart be troubled. Well, look here, Matthew 17, 7, Matthew 28, 10, Luke 12, 4. Be not afraid, three different times. There's more, but I didn't take them all out. Now, in John 14, 27, he says, neither let your heart be troubled. Neither let your heart be afraid. Mark 6:50, be of good cheer, it is I. be not afraid. Mark 5:36. Be not afraid, only believe. And the angels say to us in Luke 2:10, fear not. God says to you, there's going to be, how many of us suffer with anxiety? You can raise your hand if you want, you don't have to. But how many of us over time, in times past, have suffered with anxiety, things we can't control? How many of us have worried? Do anybody suffer with worry? Anybody worry about anything? Raise your hand if you worry about something. Thank you, because I do too. And it's good to not be alone, right? I worry. Now, God says, don't worry. We'll talk about it. He says, don't worry, but don't be afraid. Don't be afraid when things cause us to worry, when things cause us to have anxiety, when we've got these awful cares of things that creep up in our life that we can't control. He says, do not be afraid. Don't be afraid. Be of good cheer. Believe that I am here. He says, if you've got things that scare you, that cause fear to rise up in your spirit, and you need the peace in the midst of all that, he says, I've got peace for you in the midst of all that. He says, for you, I've walked through this life, and I've been through there. I know people that's walked through it, and I've helped them through it. Know this, I have done it for other people, and I can give you peace in the middle of that. How many of us have suffered with things that we can't control that we don't like? How many likes anxiety? No. How many likes worry? Worrying never changed anything. Worrying never changed anything except you. Do you know that? Changed me. Worrying has a physical effect on us, but no effect on the thing we're worrying about. Usually we worry about two things. Things that we can't control and things we aren't even at yet. You ever heard this? That's a bridge I'll cross when I get there. Why are we worried about the bridge when we ain't even there yet? That's what we do. But Jesus says, don't do that. Don't be afraid. Don't be fearful. Don't take thought of the worries and the cares in your life. I've got them covered. I've got that peace that you need. Maybe you're here this morning and you suffer with anxiety. Maybe you're here this morning and you have anxiety attacks. I don't know. Maybe you have lots of anxiety in your life, and you think, man, I wish I could have peace in the middle of this. Jesus says to you, and this is easy to say, but not easy to do. Jesus says to you, if you'll come to me, I'll give you this peace. I'll give it to you, just like I had it. You just have to take it. Now, it's not always easy to do. I'm not going to pretend it is. I know people that suffer with anxiety attacks, and it's not anything that's easy to handle. But God says, I know it's not easy to handle, but I'm here to help you handle it. I'm here to handle it for you, if you'll let me. I'm here to take it off of you, if you'll let me. But at least let me walk through it with you. Let me be in the anxiety. Let me be in the worry, be in the cares. Let me be in your fears with you, because I love you that much. Now, how in the world, in this world, can we have peace in the midst of our anxieties? Go ahead to the next one. Because God tells us how to take care of it. Because he says, God hath not given you a spirit of fear. He's given you a spirit. The Bible says that when you get saved, God says, I stand at the door and I knock. Whoever opens the door, I come right in and make my abode within. God says, I put my spirit within you, my power within you, my spirit's power within you, the spirit that works within you, the unction that works within you, God working within you. He says, I've not given you a spirit of fear, but of power and love and a sound mind. I've given you a spirit that will help you get through the times of anxieties, help you get through the times of your cares, help you get through the times of your worries, help you get through it all, because God loves you and God wants you to get through it. You see, God knows exactly what causes your anxiety. God knows exactly what causes you to worry. God knows exactly what causes you to fear. God knows exactly what cares you have. So if God knows exactly what all that is about you, God knows exactly what to do with it, how to handle it, how to fix it. I don't know, but God does. He started it by giving you a spirit within that lives within you. Once you get saved, the spirit within it says, I'm not fearful, I'm faithful. I'm not fearful, I'm faithful. Someone once said, fear knocked at the door, faith opened it up, and there wasn't nobody there. Because fear and faith don't operate together. When we have fear, I'm not having faith. And when I walk in faith, I'm having no fear. Now, it doesn't mean it's not going to change, because fear can creep up. But when fear creeps up, we've got to go to God within our spirit and say, God, bring that spirit back up within me, that spirit of power, that spirit of love, that spirit of sound mind. Give me that spirit that brings peace, that spirit that causes peace. Now, how does God say to take care of all that? What does God say can fix that. How do you and I do that? We'll see in just a second. He says, by doing this, casting all your care upon him because he cares for you. And think about the word all. Casting all. How many of us pray about big stuff? We know somebody who's got cancer. We pray about it. We know somebody who's got a cold. Do we pray about it? Well, no. Why, we got Tylenol, cold, and flu. Why do I need to pray about it? We don't have a cure for cancer, Tylenol, cold, and flu. The pharmacy. Or all. We could just do all. We could just say all. You know, oftentimes we go to God last. We go, well, I've tried this and I've tried that. Now let's just try God. Let's give him a shot. Well, he says, come to me and cast everything, every care, every worry, every anxiety, every fear, everything in your life that troubles you. He says, cast it on me because I care for you and I will take it from you and I'll bear it for you and we can walk together through it. And if we will do that, we will have more peace in the midst of it all. And then when the devil creeps in and steals our peace, we can go back to God and say, God, I need that spirit. I'm going to cast this back on you. You know, God will take it as many times as you'll cast it. God will take it. God never says, Rob, it's the sixth time this month that you've prayed about that type of thing. I've had it with you. Don't bring that one to me again. I've never heard God say that because he never will. He says, cast it, Rob. Just throw it. Christian, throw it. Throw it and let go of it. Cast it on me. Now, do this. Whenever, who's a fisherman in here? Raise your hand. Fisherman. Raise your hand. One, two. That's all. I know there are a few more fishermen didn't raise their hand. When you cast, do you cast right there by the boat? Or do you cast out there 2 miles away? What do you generally try to cast? Farther or shorter? Farther. Unless they're all right there at the bottom of your boat. Or if you're like at the lake where they're all around the dock, you're like, I'm just going to cast right here. That's where I like to fish because I don't like to wait. You know what I mean? Where they're all gathered, they feed them. Like, all right, here's one, two, three. All right, this is tough. That's my kind of fishing. It don't work that way, though. But you cast as far as you can. And that's what God says. Cast them out there. Take them and throw them as far away from you as you can get them. And God says, I'll be there to catch them and keep them. I'll be there to catch them and keep them. Anything, big, small, in between, whatever is a care, whatever is a worry, whatever brings you anxiety, whatever causes you to fear, he says, cast it all on me and let me give you my peace because my peace is there for you because I've lived through that. I've lived through that. The Bible says many times Jesus had to separate himself from the group he was with because they were after him. Bible says that he was talking to him, and the Pharisees or Sadducees or the religious leaders or the priests came and they were going to take him. Bible says he slipped away and separated himself. Why? Because he had knew that trouble was right there. That trouble was right there. Now, could he have just said, die, and they would have? Yeah. But he was a human like you and me, and he wanted us to know, I feel the same thing. Trouble's here, I'm leaving. Trouble's around, I'm getting away. I'm going to go find that peace of God. Why? Because God says you can have it. In the midst of your anxieties, in the midst of your worries, in the midst of your cares, in the midst of your fears, God says, I'll give you my peace because that baby born in a manger grew up to be a boy and a man and lived life so you could have that kind of peace. All right, what other kind of peace does God have for you? Peace. Go to the next one. Peace in provision. Here's a riddle for you. All right? If you were having a fellowship dinner, how much food would you need to feed 10,000 people? Any caterers in here? Anybody cook for a family in here? Nobody in here cooks for a family? Man, a lot of sad families in here. All right. Biggest family you ever cooked for, Debbie? Biggest number? 35 to 40. Anybody cook for more than that? Do what? 300 at a wedding. All right. All right. Anybody more than 300? How much food did you need for 300 people? 150 pounds of potatoes. We'll stop right there because there's a whole lot more. Now, the answer is this. If you want to feed 10,000 people, this is all you need. Go to the next screen. 12 loaves of bread and 5 to 8 fishes, and you'll get 19 full baskets of leftovers. What do you mean? Well, in Matthew 15, Jesus fed 4,000 men plus families with just 7 loaves of bread and a few fishes, and they took 7 full baskets of leftovers away. Now, at another fellowship sit-down dinner, he fed 5,000 men plus family with just 5 loaves and 2 fishes and got 12 full baskets of leftover. So if you want to feed 10,000 people at least, you just need 12 loaves and 5 to 8 fishes, and you should get 19 baskets of leftovers. If you can't do that, you ain't Jesus. That's all I can say about that. Why? God will provide in time of need. You know that? God will always provide in time of need. Have the peace that when the need arises. Now, you may never have a need that you can't meet. I hope you don't. But if you've ever been there to where you got a need that you can't meet, God says, look, I will meet it for you. That's what I'm here to do. If you go to the next screen, I want you to look at this. God says, just like that riddle, God says, I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what you eat, drink, or put on. For your heavenly Father knows what things you have need of before you ask him. Notice 2 things there. Before you ask him. So first, he already knows what you need. He's already got the preparations made. He's already got the 12 loaves and 8 fish coming. He's already got that, right? He knows and he's ready. He's prepared. He's got you covered. But we need to ask him, he says, before you ask him. So if I don't ask him, is he going to meet that need? Well, you know, that's not necessarily going to happen. But if you go to ask him, will he meet me today? He will every time. He says, before you ask him. So he says, don't worry about what you're going to eat, where you're going to sleep, what you're going to wear, what you're going to drink. Don't worry about the things in your life. Don't worry about the needs in your life. Because if you're a child of the king, the Bible says it like this. The fullness, the earth is the Lord's. And the fullness thereof. Everything on this planet, everything in this world, everything on this earth is God's. This is what he says. God owns the cattle on 1,000 hills, but he also owns the hills, right? We don't have anything in this life that doesn't belong to God. The richest person in this world, who is it? I don't know. Who is it? Who? Jeff Bezos. Jeff Bezos. All right. Everything he has can be gone tomorrow if God says, I want it back, because it's God's. It's God's. The fullness and everything about this world. It's all God's. He lets us borrow it. He gives it to us to use. He blesses us with it. But it's not ours to keep. It's ours to return. It all belongs to God. So how does he meet your needs? Because he owns everything in this world. He owns every mineral, every vegetable. He can have most of them. Every fruit. Anybody like all vegetables? Some? Good for you. I don't. I don't like broccoli. Don't, kids, I didn't say that. Lori says I shouldn't say stuff like that. I like broccoli one time. Let's leave it at that. God owns it all, so God can provide. And see, he's already got it ready for you. Because he already knows what you're going to happen in your life, what you're going to go through. He already knows what you're going to need, so he prepares it today for you tomorrow. That's why I pray, God, get us ready today for what tomorrow holds. Because he's got it ready himself. I just wait for me to get there and get it. Move to the next screen. So, God knows what you're going to have. And he says, my God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Can I tell you something? I've read this verse many, many times. This is the first time I read the word by. This week is the first time I've read the word by Christ Jesus. I always said in Christ Jesus. But you know why it's by Christ Jesus? Because Christ was here as a baby in a manger and grew up as a boy and grew up into a man and walked on the earth and felt the need and saw the need, experienced the need. So he knows the needs that you're going to have. Why? Because he was here. So by him living, by his life, by him becoming that baby in that manger, he now can meet every need because he knows all about him. God will, shall, not hopefully, shall supply all, every one of your needs according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. That's how good God is. He says, I'll give you peace in a time of provision. If you don't see that you have what you need, it's going to come. You may be looking at your bills and you may be saying, well, God, these bills are $700 and I've got $628 in my bank account. Don't know how you're going to do that. Don't know how you're going to do that. Can I tell you a true story? I heard it from the man who it happened to, who was a Christian, so I believe every word he says. He said to me, his wife took care of the checkbook. It's been years ago. His wife took care of the checkbook. It was 1 month where that happened. Bills were here. Checkbook was here. She did it over and over and over, two or three times, four times. She said, honey, this ain't going to work out. I don't know what we're going to do. He said, did we pay our tithes? She said, we don't have the money to pay our tithes. We don't got the money to pay our bills, much less to pay our tithes. If I write everything out, I'm not going to have enough money to do either one of those. He says, well, let me have a checkbook. So he went and he wrote a tithes check. He wrote the tithes check. And I don't know how it happened, but they matched up. I know how it happened. Because God is good. He is going to meet all your need, even when you can't figure out how. It ain't up to me to know how, to know why, to know where it's coming from. It's up to me to know God is in control. Know God is looking out for you. To know that God has everything in this world and to know that God is going to supply all your needs. So when it comes to that point where in life your provisions aren't where they need to be, your income is less than your outgo, you need to look to God and say, God, I need your peace. Because he says, I'll give you my peace because I'll give you my provision in life. Just go with me and that peace from that baby in the manger, by him will I give you that peace through your life situations, what's going to happen in your life. He says, just come to me and I'll give you that peace. I'll give you that provision. Peace and provision. Go to the next one. When you can't fix it. This is the hard one. This is the hard one. With God, we can have peace when things look impossible. With God, you can have peace when things look like it's never going to work out. Why? Because Luke tells us that with God, nothing is impossible. And then Mark says, let me tell it to you this way. With God, all things are possible. When it comes to God and it comes to working things out, God says, let me take care of it. I've got it. You just let me have it right here. And I'm going to work it out for you. I'm going to work it out for you. I'm going to take care of whatever need you have. I'm going to take care of what problem you can't fix. I'm going to take care of the situation that arises in your life that you can't control, that you have no control of. And if you did, you couldn't work it out anyway. Things that's been wrong for a long time that you've been trying to get worked out, you've been trying to get fixed, and you just can't make it happen. God says, I can make it happen because with me, all things are possible. If we've thrown our hands up and said, I can do no more, God says, I can start right now. He can work things out that we can. He can fix what's wrong when you can't fix what's wrong, because with men things are impossible, but with God nothing is impossible, but all things are possible. Go to the next screen. Now, thought about this. A woman one day had an issue of blood, 12 years, and she did what we would do. She did what we would do. The Bible says she went to the physicians and spent all of her living, spent every dollar she had, going to doctor to doctor to doctor. Now, I'm not against doctors. I think they're great. Their work is amazing. I'm all for them. I go to them. We've got some medical people in here. Love you guys. We can't live without you. Sometimes many true. Exactly. Can't live without you. But she went to all the physicians she had money to go to. And it says she could not be healed. Could not be healed of any of them. How many of you and I, with a great illness, a great sickness, don't raise your hands, would go to the doctors first versus what she did second? The Bible says that she finally said, I can't do it. The doctors can't do it. It's not working out. I ain't got no more money, so I can't go to no doctors. I'm going to try Jesus. Might as well give Jesus a try. The Bible says, you know, and I like this because this takes determination. Sometimes if you want it fixed, you got to be determined to get to God. You got to be determined in your prayer life. You got to be determined in your Christian life. You got to be determined in your walk. You got to fight through it sometimes to get to him, because the devil is coming against you. He's fighting against you. He's putting every barricade he can, every demon he can, every obstacle he can. Sometimes you just got to fight through, because the Bible says when Jesus was walking through the town, there was a throng of people. There were so many you couldn't count them. And the Bible says that she made it through up to the front. Now, let me tell you. If I'm somewhere at something I want to be at, like a concert or something, and you come in after me and you try to get past me, we're going to have an issue. Right? Anybody else that way? I'm like, I was here first. I deserve to be up front. You'd be right behind me if you want, but no closer. And maybe that's just me. Lord, help me. But I don't like to get there early and have people later get in front of me. I guess I would like to do that if I was them, though. But anyway. So, it says she fought from the back of this crowd with so many people around Jesus that if you touched him, he wouldn't know who you were. The Bible says she got close enough to the crowd. Excuse me. No, really, I'm going through. No, you ain't going through. I'm going through. You ain't going through. Pow, I'm going through. I don't know. Maybe not. It doesn't say that, but, you know, I was in front of her. So anyway, I'm like, no, you ain't going through. Finally, she reaches out and she touches Jesus. You know what happens? Immediately, she's healed. Because he can fix it when you can. You can have the peace when you can't fix it that God can, just like that. A lot of times we go in our physical self, in our sickness, we go to everything but Jesus. Maybe we should go to Jesus first and then to other things. Go to the next one. What else? There was a man one time. Again, Jesus in the crowd. And this man comes to Jesus. He says, Jesus, my son is sorely vexed. He's got this evil spirit with him. It tears him. It throws him. It burns him. It tries to drown him. It does all this. It makes him foam at the mouth. It bruises him. And it will not go away. And I've tried everything, even went to the Christians. Oh, everybody just took a deep breath on me there. Even went to your disciples. And they could not cast out this spirit. Jesus says, why did you go to them? Oh, ye of little faith, why don't you just come to me? See, sometimes we've got spiritual things going on in our life, spiritual problems, spiritual issues, spiritual circumstances that we want changed, we need change. We can't do it. We've tried. Jesus says, just come to me. Just come to me. I'll take care of it. I'll fix it. The Bible says Jesus spoke to the demon, and the demon went away, and it says never came back to that boy again. Why? Because he can fix it when you can't. He can fix your life when you can't. I got one more story. It's not in here. This is a true story. Told to me by the person involved just a week ago. There was a baby a couple years ago born in Roane County of an addicted mother, a drug addicted mother. So this baby came out and it didn't look good. It didn't look well. It wasn't neither good nor well. So they tested the baby's blood and it came back with 5 drugs. Addicted to 5 drugs. So this grandma says, let me pray for this baby. Nurse said, you go right ahead. So she went and prayed for that baby. Prayed, Father, you can heal this baby. You can take care of this. We can't do this, but you can. They went back and they tested the baby again. Came back 0. Maybe that was a fluke, right? Maybe the second one was a fluke. So they took it a third time, 0. No drugs in that baby's blood. You tell me God can't fix what I can't fix. God can fix anything. That's the kind of peace God says. You can have peace because it does not matter what is going on, how big or how small or how bad or how wrong, whatever it is, I can fix it when you can't. If you can't, don't worry. Don't have anxiety. Have peace because I can take care of it. I've got this. Like when Kenny Petrie preached to us, God says, I got this. I got your back on this one. I'm going to take care of it. When you can't, he can. And in that, you can have peace in life because troubles and trials and anxieties and worries and situations and conflicts arise that we can't. You might have been trying for years to fix something that's not done. Let go of it and give it to God and say, God, I can't, but you can. And God says, you're right, and I will. You can have the peace when you can't because God can. I'm just about done if we get ready to sing. This morning, one blessing. This is just one blessing from that baby in the manger. One blessing of Jesus. But do you have it? Do you have it? Go to the next one. Do you have the blessings from the baby in the manger of peace in life storms, in your anxieties, your worries, your cares, and your fears, in your provisions, and when you can't fix it? If you don't have that kind of peace this morning, Jesus is right here. And Jesus says, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. I will give you rest unto your soul. Come and get the peace that I give to you. Not as the world gives, I give you my peace to sleep in the boat when you think it's about to sink. If everybody would stand, as we sing, if you need Jesus for anything this morning, he's here, he's ready, and he's waiting. Come get him.
Everyone turn to page 160. 160.
When my soul was disturbed with sorrow, when my heart was burdened with pain, Jesus opened his arms of mercy.
So if you need peace in the middle of your life or in one situation, God says, I've got that for you. Maybe you're here this morning and you're not saved. You just need Jesus. You just need salvation. This morning, Jesus says, I've got that for you. If you'll come, he'll meet that need.
There are storms that we all encounter. Do not fear, they will do you no harm. In the Lord you will find protection.
Now, someone asked me to explain our Super Bowl service, okay? We will have church at 6 o'clock right here, regular Sunday evening service. But we will also have an early 5 o'clock service over in the Outreach Center in the gym. Hunter and Jordan Pritt will be leading us in worship through music, and then I'll be preaching the sermon. After church, we will have a Super Bowl party. We will put the game up on the big screen. I censored the monitors off the wall, or the commercials off the wall, so they're not seen nor heard. When the commercials go away, I put it back on there. Okay? You have to go to church before you come to the party. So no kids come straight to our party. If they don't come at our church over there at 5, they have to come here at 6. All right? We stop at 9 o'clock or halftime, whichever comes first. So there will be church service at 5, and there will be church service at 6. Come to either one or come to both. They'll both be a little bit different. So someone asked me to explain that. I just wanted to do that. Does anybody else have anything? All right, if you would bow your heads. Mike Shawin, would you dismiss us, please?
Lord, thank you for the opportunity to be here. We thank you for our church, Lord, for this body of believers. We thank you most of all for salvation. We ask that you bless each one of us, help us with our individual troubles, our aches and pains, and help us to be a witness for you in every day of our life. And it's in Jesus' name.